Amen. Good morning, Redeemer. Go ahead and take a seat. My name is Jeremy Hendon. I get to serve here as an elder, and I get to serve on staff as our adult discipleship pastor. And I'm just really eager this morning. We get to kick off a four-week series called Disciples of Jesus. So we're diverging a bit here from the series we've been in Luke to highlight, to focus on discipleship and what it means to be learners, followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. And this series accompanies the rollout of our discipleship pathway. So when you walked in today, hopefully you received a copy of the pathway. If one of our ushers didn't manage to get one into your hands as you walked in, please feel free, go ahead and get up from your seat and go grab one at one of these black tables that you pass as you walked in here, because you're going to need it today. We're actually going to be walking through this together as we unpack the application from the text today. And because of that, like, today's sermon is going to be just a little bit different than normal in that we'll be walking through this together. I'm excited to share it with you all, and also just really excited to officially announce some things that we've been working on in discipleship for the last couple years or so. But for now, please tuck these pathways under your seats. You don't need them just yet, because our text today is found in Hebrews chapter 5. And so please open your Bibles to Hebrews 5. And if you don't have a Bible, as always, you can find one on the back of a seat somewhere near you. And if you don't own a Bible, please take that home with you as our gift to you this morning. So Hebrews chapter 5, we're going to be walking through verses 11 to 14 together. And these verses make up a more famous passage in Hebrews where the author of Hebrews, we're not exactly sure who the author is, but he urges his hearers to go on to greater spiritual maturity in Christ. And so this morning, we are going to see that we are all, every one of us, as followers of Jesus, we are called to maturity in Christ. And we never stop growing in greater maturity in him. But this is challenging. Growing up, spiritually speaking, is difficult. It takes a lot of time, and it takes intentionality. I've been reminded, just as I've been preparing for this sermon, at just how similar actually growing up into greater spiritual maturity can be to backpacking. And I recognize that I'm preaching here in the flatlands of Indiana, and there's not a lot of backpacking that happens here. It's actually something that makes me very sad. I really wish that God had spoken into existence some mountains amidst all these cornfields, but I will be content in all circumstances. It's okay. It's okay. But early on in young adult ministry, I had the opportunity to take some groups of young adults backpacking in the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. And one of the greatest privileges for me was getting to see often these young adults start backpacking for the first time. And it's just, it's kind of crazy because you start in a parking lot or on the side of a road, and when you're a first timer going into backpacking, you're really wondering, am I really going to get to see much that I can't see from the van, from the car? You know, you're putting on this heavy pack and wondering, like, we're just taking one little step after another. Is this experience really going to be worth it? Because this pack is heavy. And these people don't know exactly just how challenging it's going to be. They also don't know, they have no idea just how beautiful the scenery is that they're going to get to take in. And I think really that walking into greater spiritual maturity is similar. You don't exactly know what to expect, like in backpacking. You can know it's going to be difficult, like in backpacking. It's way better in community with others. Like when we would go on these trips, we would be just worshiping and praying together as we'd walk. It was really spiritually rich. As we grow up into greater spiritual maturity, we can bank on the fact that things are going to go differently from the way that we anticipated. And here's the best part, we can trust the Lord that he's going to lead us into some spaces with him that we couldn't have imagined back in the beginning, back at the parking lot, so to speak. And today, my hope is that we will learn together how to just dream more about where God could take us as we grow into greater spiritual maturity with him. Because when we do that, we learn how to really experientially know that Jesus is the best thing ever. He's the best person ever. And if the way to cherishing, to seeing and savoring Christ is growing up into greater spiritual maturity, then I want that for us as a church family more than anything. So let's pray to that end, that God would help us to take those strides together by the power of his Spirit for his glory. Let's pray. God, would you please do a work that only you can do? Would you help us to spiritually grow? And Lord, that comes with growing pains and it's difficult. And yet, Lord, it's so worth it. There's great joy to be found as we grow in you. We learn not just in a heady way, but experientially, our hearts learn that your word really is sweet to the taste and that you really are so good and that you're our friend and you're our peace and our joy and your love for us is endless. And we learn to rest in your love and to abide with you, to walk with you. And it's just, there's nothing better, God. And so please, Lord, help us to take these intentional steps forward together for your glory. We pray all this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to give you five things that we are called to from this text in Hebrews, and then we're going to walk through the pathway. Some of these callings we're going to look at this morning are a bit surprising. Okay, pick it up with me in verse 11. We read, "About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you've become dull of hearing." So this book that we're in, Hebrews, it's actually a sermon, and it ends like a letter. It's a really cool book. I love this book. And the preacher of Hebrews, he's just before verse 11 that we just read, he's been talking about how awesome Jesus is, that he's our great high priest who serves on our behalf in these amazing ways after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, the preacher, he's getting into some meaty, awesome teaching. And then we come to verse 11, and 11 kind of interrupts his flow. And he sounds a bit exasperated as I read this. He goes, "About this, like, I have so much I want to say to you, more I want to say. And it's hard to explain." Why is it hard to explain? "Since you've become dull of hearing." You might be wondering, is that like an ancient way of roasting people? Did these people just get roasted? Kind of. I mean, if you read through Hebrews, you know that this pastor loves the people he's preaching to. He loves them. And yet, when he says you're dull of hearing, he's not saying that you're just unintelligent, that you're not bright enough to pick up what I'm giving to you. No, what he is saying, he is calling them out in love. And he's saying, listen, you guys are not putting to practice the things that you've heard. You're sluggish. To be dull of hearing is to hear, but to not, it's just to not really hear. It's really like hearing in a way that goes in one ear and out the other. And guys, I have a 4-year-old now, and those of you with toddlers, I heard a couple chuckles. You don't need a transition from like dull of hearing to 4-year-old, okay? It makes sense. Love him. I love Judah to pieces, okay? But he'll ask me questions sometimes so passionately, and you would think, based off of the passionate way he's asking me this question, that he's going to be hanging on my every word for the answer. But then I'll answer him, and he'll just look at me and go, "What?" And it's very sanctifying, okay? And I've learned, like, don't give him long answers, keep him brief, okay? So, example here, he'll go like, "Dad, where's my shoes?" By the front door. "What?" Or like, "Dad, what are we having for dinner?" "Chicken." "What?" And I'm just like, guys, I don't think I just have the dad goggles on or whatever. I mean, I think, maybe I do. I don't think it's just the dad goggles. I think my son is smart, okay? I think he is. But it's not that he can't compute what I'm saying to him, but he's often dull of hearing. And if he is to mature properly in life, he's going to have to learn to actually listen and put into practice what he's learned. And that's my job, is to help him with that as the discipler in his life. And yet, I've just been convicted that I'm so similar in this. I can be dull of hearing, because in this very room, I've sat in seats like in the ones you're sitting in right now, and I've heard teaching from God's word. And then it's like sometimes I think I leave here and I'm almost going, "What? What did I just hear?" I'm not really putting it to practice. And so I get to encourage all of us, myself included, we're called to listen well. You are called to listen and to put into practice the things that you learn from God's word. The loving rebuke continues in verse 12. And when you read in verse 12 the word you have to read it in your southern accent, y'all. This is a plural you, okay? These yous are plural. So this next calling might be surprising to you. Verse 12, "For though by this time you all ought to be teachers, y'all need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God." And in this we learn that the preacher of Hebrews, he's expecting that these followers by now, they should be teaching others. Our second calling today, you are called to teach others. And I recognize as I say that, there are a lot of reasons that begin coming to our minds of why we're disqualified to do that very thing. I'm not a great communicator. I'm not as gifted of a teacher as so-and-so. There are a lot of reasons that we could list for why we're disqualified to teach others, especially in spiritual things. But you know what Jesus has called us to do in the commission, the Great Commission? This is something that the Lord's been reminding me of lately. Check out the Great Commission from our Lord in Matthew 28. It'll be up on the screen. This is what Jesus tells any follower of him you are to go do. He says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Praise God, he's with us always. He calls us to teach others. Followers of Jesus, we have been commissioned by Christ himself, who wields all authority on heaven and on earth. And he says, go, make disciples, baptize them, and teach them. We are to teach one another. And it's so genius that Jesus includes this in the Great Commission, because when you go to teach something to someone else, you realize just, I don't understand this as well as I thought I did. And it causes you to really study it and for it to really sink in at a deeper level. Now, not everyone is going to go on to become, like I'm imagining a middle school Bible teacher or high school Bible teacher, maybe teach a group of people in a church setting. Maybe that's not something that the Lord leads you into. But every single one of us, followers of Jesus, we are to understand the Christian faith well enough that if you're talking to someone about God and God saves this individual, you need to be able to explain to them some of the basics of the Christian faith, help get them oriented, help them understand the basic building blocks, so to speak, of the Christian life. And I recognize that as I say this, there could be this huge temptation to grow discouraged or to give into shame that can just come knocking today. And I just get to remind you, like, those things, discouragement, shame, are not of God. God is not desiring for you to be suppressed by those things. Actually, there's really good news for us this morning. This next calling gives us so much hope. Third calling this morning, you are called to start at the beginning. Oh, praise God for that. There's a key word in verse 12 that's going to help us see this third calling even more vividly. Okay, let's read that verse together again. "For though by this time you all ought to be teachers, you all need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food." And so the preacher is calling out some people who have heard this. Maybe they've heard it time and time again, but it's like, hey, this isn't clicking. And it's not because you're not smart, it's because you're being sluggish. It's because you're not practicing it. You're not engaging with it properly. But here's the good news for us this morning. If you are in the room and you haven't been taught the basics of the Christian faith, I just want to hopefully relieve you a little bit. It's expected that you don't fully understand them yet. It's okay. We all start at the beginning. I think of, this reminds me of John chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and he says to Nicodemus, this respected man, he says to him, hey, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. This is confusing to Nicodemus. Born again. Jesus is saying, yeah, if you are going to really be saved and become a follower of God, you must start as an infant. And he's saying this to a grown man. It's pretty crazy. We all start at the beginning spiritually. So maybe you're in the room and you've been saved for decades, and yet for a whole variety of reasons, you're still going, man, I feel like I'm in this place where, like it says in Hebrews 5, I'm drinking milk. I haven't moved on to the solid food. I haven't really progressed past these basic truths that it's talking about here. Sometimes I think this happens when we assume, and maybe others assume around us in the church, that like, oh, like, yeah, you've got it. And we go, yeah, I got it. And yet we don't have it. And we go, ah, you know what, I'm going to kind of fake it till I make it. And yet we just kind of keep faking it. And we keep waiting for the Lord to just make it click for us, but it's not clicking and we can get discouraged. Let me share a story with you, or like just something that God's been doing in my own heart over the last 10 years or so that I've been here. And I promise it relates to this, okay? Something that God's been freeing me of is this desire that I've had to compare myself to others. Many of you know my testimony, you know my story, and you know that was something that was really difficult for me. And it would play out all kinds of environments. One place would be in the gym, okay? This is just one example, but I would walk into a gym when I was much younger, and it would be just so easy for me to compare myself to others and to want to reach for weights that I wasn't yet equipped to handle. And those of you who lift weights, really anyone in the room, you know that's just not a good idea. That's a good way to get injured. You're going to strain your muscles in ways that make them harder to recover, which makes it harder for you to get in this habit of working out. And, you know, in the end, you end up just leaving the weights on the shelf. Well, maybe you haven't had that experience like I did in the gym, but maybe you have experienced this spiritually speaking, where you open up your Bible and you come to these big questions that are actually really good questions for you to have, but you're like, why don't I have this yet? Seems like so-and-so has it. It seems like they have it. They know what this means. I don't know what this means. We get frustrated. We close up the Bible and we put it on a shelf and we don't continue progressing in the faith. A major reason, I want to give you some hope, a major reason this church was planted is to help people who have been faking it until they make it. Stop faking it. You know, this is a place where you are loved, truly, genuinely, you are loved as you are. You don't have to fake it. You can be honest with God and with others around you where you're really at, and you can trust that, like, we want to surround you and help you grow wherever you may be. So whether you are brand new in the faith, whether you've been taking some steps, maybe you're in the room this morning and you're willing in a spirit of humility to go, wow, it's been a long time of drinking milk, and I don't have these basics, whatever those are, and I need help. Hey, if you come tell that to me or a pastor here or someone on staff or a neighbor sitting next to you, like, we're going to be thankful for your humility and willingness, your humble willingness to recognize where you are, and we're just going to say, hey, his mercies are new every morning, every day. Let's just take our one next step. We can't change the past, but we can get our eyes forward on our one next step with Christ, and together, by his Spirit, we can take it. As pastors, we have a great responsibility to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And in order to help with this, we're going to launch something called Foundation Groups early on, probably January, February of 2027. And these foundation groups will be about 8 weeks long and are for the purpose of helping you. If you're going, yeah, I need to understand what these foundational things of the Christian faith, these groups are going to be for that purpose, to learn that. And so whether you've been, maybe even you're in the room and you're going, you know what, I think that I have built upon those foundational things, but I think it'd be wise for me to go back and just reevaluate my foundation, make sure it's structurally sound and solid. That's wise. You can go do a back to basics kind of thing. But we are pumped wherever you may fall. If you are wanting to take part in this, we would love to see you there. No matter how long you've been following Jesus, no matter how long you've been in the church, we would love to see you at these foundation groups. And so I'm going to get into, when we unpack the pathway, more on how you're going to express interest in going through these things. So hang tight for now. But know this, if you are drinking milk, we want to help you move on from milk to solid food. And there's a lot of joy to be found, by the way, in moving on from the milk to good, nutritious, solid food. If you're like me, this is what comes to mind, okay? I just Googled great surf and turf, and this came up, and my mouth started watering, okay? I'm curious where you all end up going, you know, to get food after this. Tell me. Someone last time I preached was like, dude, I was craving Taco Bell the entire time because I kept bringing up Taco Bell. But this is a lot better than Taco Bell. This is actually solid food, right? Like, or like the next, whenever I go backpacking, I would crave queso and endless chips. And I know that's not the most solid, but it's so good. And really, it is so much better to go on from the milk diet. There's so much waiting for us as we journey onward with the Lord into greater maturity. You know, this little section at the end of verse 12, about going on from milk to solid food, this is a verse that gets quoted a lot. This comes up a lot in the church when you're talking about discipleship. But what does that really mean? What does it mean to be on the milk diet versus the solid food diet? Verse 13 is going to help explain the answer. Verse 13, for everyone who lives on milk, here it is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. Okay, so we're called to go on from milk to solid food. If we're on the milk diet, we're unskilled in the word of righteousness. That means to go on to solid food, we must grow skill in the word of righteousness, which is God's word. And so our fourth calling today, you are called to grow your skill in God's word. Whether you're brand spanking new to reading and studying the Bible, I'm really pumped for you, if that's you. Or maybe you've been reading God's word for decades. You've read every story numbers of times. Hey, we can all grow our skills in this area. And thinking of skill being involved in understanding God's word, it might be a new concept for you today. And I hope actually, before you leave this morning, you see just how freeing this is. Because here's why. You're like, how is that freeing? It sounds like I got a ton of work to do. Here's the thing. Scripture does not teach some new age teaching that once you get saved, you're enlightened. And you just all of a sudden understand God's word completely. That you're suddenly super knowledgeable about this massive book in front of you. Think about this. God created learning. This actually leads me to worship him this morning. God doesn't need to learn because he already knows everything and always has. God doesn't develop skill like we do because he already is fully capable and able to do anything and everything. There's nothing he cannot do. But he made us to learn skills slowly, progressively, with time. Learning skill in God's word, like any skill, it just takes time and it takes practice. God doesn't expect us to just sprint the Christian life. Anyone ever been, I mean, this is me, okay? I have these high expectations for myself, and I just wanted to teleport from here to way over there in my walk with Jesus. Like, God, why do I still struggle with this thing? Can you just take it away and boom, make me like that over there? And the Lord's like, I've got something better in store for you. Walk with me, and I'm going to teach you slowly but surely, one step at a time. It makes us humble. It shows us how dependent we are on him. He wants you to walk with him. When we expect ourselves to be able to just leap forward, just these leaps and bounds ahead, I think that saddens the Lord. It's our pride rearing its ugly head, saying like, I should just be able to get there. You should know this by now. These condemning thoughts that can come into our minds. And yet, good, humble dependence, empowered to us by the Spirit of God, says something different. We're able to say in humility, God, there's so much about your word I don't know and I don't understand. God, there's so much about you. You're vast, you're infinite, and there's so much I don't know about you yet. God, teach me a little more. Like, take me just a little deeper. Take me one step further in my walk with you today. I'm telling you guys, like, I know this from experience. Comparison with others is going to stunt your growth. Unrealistic expectations for yourself and those you're discipling, it's going to stunt growth. Spiritual apathy, which is what the preacher in Hebrews is coming after in this text, it's going to stunt your growth. What will aid your growth is humble dependence on the Lord and just being faithful, like in backpacking, you're just taking one step after another. That's it. I'm convinced that many of us in the room, our faith feels stagnant because we're trying to coast on steps that we took with Jesus months, years ago. Walking with Jesus is better than any backpacking adventure. And so I want to encourage you this morning, what's your next step now? And my hope is that as we use this discipleship pathway together, it would just become more normal in this place for followers of Jesus to know what our next steps are. And we can be praying for each other and asking each other about those things in the lobby, in our discipleship groups, in our homes, okay? And also, we understand that in equipping the saints, again, for the work of the ministry, it's essential that we help give you some help in these things. And so we want to help you develop your skill in God's word. And that's why we now have Bible study workshops. As this pathway is rolling out, we want to invite you into these where the name workshop entails it's going to be hands-on. For 4 weeks, you're going to go through four different sessions where you're just getting in God's word and you're getting some tools and some help and you're immersed in God's word, just studying it. And it can help snowball so that as you continue to study the word of God on your own with others, that you have some tools to help you in that, okay? We don't want to leave anyone feeling like, man, I want to grow my skill in this. I just don't know how. Hey, here's an opportunity for you to grow that skill. So knowing the word is going to help us grow into greater spiritual maturity, but it can't stop there. It can't just be knowledge, and we don't stop there in Bible study workshops. We must go on to apply the word to our lives. And that's where the preacher goes next in verse 14. And this verse, guys, I'm telling you, verse 14, this is one of those verses that a couple years ago, I was reading through Hebrews again, and I'd been through it, I don't know how many times, but a number of times, and then suddenly, and I just love it when this happens in God's Word. I read this verse, and it popped out to me in such a fresh way, and I was like, have I ever read this before in my Bible? It was just one of those times, so cool. All right, read, maybe the same thing will happen to you this morning, I don't know. Read verse 14 with me. It says, but solid food, here we go, what is solid food? Solid food is for the mature, for those who have their what? Powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. That sounds incredible, okay? I feel like we're joining the Avengers or something. Like, powers of discernment. Every believer is called to go on to maturity. And part of spiritual maturity is growing these powers of discernment through constant practice to distinguish what is good, what is of the Lord, what am I to engage in, what is evil, what am I to flee from and to avoid. This has just blown me away that we have believers, followers of Christ, we've been given by God powers of discernment. I just think that's so cool. Number five, you are called to grow your discernment through practice. Sometimes, going back to the Avengers thing, sorry, I'm nerding out a little bit here, but like, we can think of discernment as something you either have or you don't, like a spidey sense, okay? That you either have a spidey sense or you don't have it. And, you know, is it true that the Spirit of God, wow, there's like no Spider-Man fans, I guess. Did anyone? All right, it's fine. Is it true that the Spirit of God gives to some like an extra measure of discernment? Absolutely. But also, discernment comes, like all of us as followers of God wants us to be a discerning people. And he's given us powers through his Spirit. As we study his Word and we grow in his Word and understanding, we're able to overlay the wisdom of God's Word on all of the decisions we're making in our life on a day-to-day basis. And we're able to view the work meeting, the whatever, you fill in the blank, whatever you're doing, your time with those guys on the golf course, whatever it is, you're starting to view these things through the goggles of God's Word. And in that, discernment comes about. I had this moment where I was looking at this verse for the first time, and I'm like, man, through constant practice, do I really have opportunities to constantly practice discernment? And as I've thought about that, the answer is yes. Like, we need discernment all the time. Can I rattle off, I probably have too many questions here in my notes, but I'm going to rattle off some questions that I've asked, some that I've heard you guys ask, and it just highlights that, like, we need discernment. Here we go. Okay, buckle up. When do I speak? What do I say? Is my anger in this righteous or sinful? How do I navigate this relationship? How do I help be a peacemaker with these individuals? Where is sin lurking in my heart? How do I do my job ethically? How do I love my family with good boundaries? When do I need to put work down to rest? Where do I need to lean into more work? How do I love this person in my life with a totally different worldview than me? How do I retire well? How do I handle this suffering in my life? Should I keep going? Like, someone's actually responded. What'd you say? Yes? Okay, all right. How can I handle this suffering in my life? I would have stopped if you said stop, but who can I trust with this sensitive information? Where is the line between caring well for others and gossip? How do I parent kids in the little years, teen years, young adult years? How do I think about hot topic issues in the world today? How do I vote? How do I steward my money well? How do I handle this text message? When does working out become an idol? What is emotionally unhealthy in my dating relationship? Do I have unreasonable expectations in this? Can anyone relate? Like, and can you add like 100 more questions to that list? I mean, we need discernment all the time. And so we can constantly practice going, God, like James says, if we ask for wisdom and faith, God's going to give it. Like, God, give me wisdom, give me discernment to know how to live, how to grow into greater spiritual maturity. Guys, I love going to godly men and women in my life who are much further along than that. And they've trained these muscles, if we want to call them muscles of discernment, through constant practice, they've trained them really, really well. And I love going to them and asking them questions like, you know, how can I better be a better husband to my wife? And how can I parent my kids better? How can I grow in that? And what about discipleship for our church? What do you think about this or that? And I just want to say to you all, like, those of you who are more spiritually mature, we need you. With those big discernment muscles, okay, those guns are not for show, okay? Like, you got to use them to bless us, okay? We need you. Another thing that can really help us grow in discernment is something new called freedom groups. Okay, freedom groups is something newer to our church. We've done a pilot run. We're about to do one more run that's literally just about to start. And then come this spring, if you're interested, you can express interest in going through our next one in the spring. Freedom groups is really sweet. It was written by Dr. Garrett Higbee. It happens in 13 weeks. And you really learn to discern what's going on in here, like not just looking at the fruit, the symptom issues, but really diagnosing things and then applying God's word to those things so that we can get more traction in our walks with Jesus. It also helps you as you're discipling others. You learn some tools that help you better counsel others and help you discern what others may need as you disciple them. It's really helpful. And so if you're interested in going through this, just know we may get a lot of interest for this. I don't know what the Lord has in store. We're going to prioritize our members. And so this is a natural time then for me to just plug membership. If you haven't yet taken that step and you like call this place your home, I want to encourage you to become a member. And you can get that ball rolling by going to step one or step two. And so please consider that. And if you're interested in getting signed up for one of those things, you can go meet with someone at the Connection Center. You can email me, find me after service, whatever. We would love to help you become a member. As the discipleship pathway is rolling out, we just have wanted to make it easier for you to express interest in things like freedom groups and Bible study workshops. We've actually added a discipleship tab on the website, on the church website, and a discipleship tab on the home screen of your church center app. And so I want to encourage you this week, coming out of this sermon, would you please just explore, whether if you have the app, you use that. If you want to get on the webpage and explore, Olivia Zdrowski has done a great job of adding this whole new tab and all these webpages to really equip. We want to equip you all. And you're even going to find on there discipleship resources. So as you're discipling someone and you run into a topic that they're struggling with and you're like, I don't even know where to go here, well, you can look, and we've curated a number of resources to help get you started with passages from God's Word, articles, podcasts, there's book recommendations. We want to just equip you as much as we can so at least you have a starting point with those you're discipling. So explore that. You can also go to the discipleship pathway page, and there will be links that make it really easy for you to say, hey, I'm interested in going to freedom groups, or I'm interested in a Bible study workshop, or eventually when it comes out, I want to be a part of foundation groups. Great. Like, we want to know those things so we can better equip you for the work of the ministry. All right, I've been talking a lot about this discipleship pathway. What is it? Go ahead and pull it out from under your seats. Let's walk through it together. And what I'm going to ask you to do is open it up and then flip it on its back so that what you see in front of you matches what's on the screen behind me. And as you open this up, is this not beautiful? Can we give Jake Zdrowski a hand for his work on building this out? He did a great job with this. And I also just, there's so many people who I could thank, but I also want to specifically thank Marcy Morrison, who helped really with the shape of this. So let's walk through it together. I want to explain it and train you all on the various elements of it so that we can go start using it right away as a church family. We're all about making disciples as a church. It's our mission. And so, Lord willing, the Lord will use this pathway to give you some handlebars that just help you navigate our mission with a little more clarity and make it easier for us to move together in the same direction. So with that said, as you're looking at this visual, you're going to notice that everything revolves around this golden line of discipleship, of being discipled and making disciples. Those of you who have been around for a while, you may remember this phrase, the middle third. We desire for someone to be pouring into us, and then we have the opportunity to pour into another. And I want to say, sometimes that pouring in happens from a peer who's mutually sharpening you. And we want to find that. We also can't stop there. We must be looking, who can I help grow in the faith alongside me? You're also I hope, noticing that this thing isn't just like a two-dimensional line that just moves up and to the right from point A to point B in the most efficient way possible. Discipleship is not that simple. It's a little more beautifully complex. And so this shape reminds us of that, and the way that it spirals upward reminds us that we're going to grow up, and as we grow up, our love for God and for others is going to grow too. Our joy can grow. The hardships that we encounter in this life, they're going to grow. And yet the way that God sanctifies us and moves us, it's going to grow. It's better as we go into maturity together. It's better. So let's long for that and move into that with each other. You're also going to notice that things have it has a starting point here in the spiritual infancy phase. So these colored dots on the pathway correspond to the colored phases on the right on your pamphlet here. And it begins with spiritual infancy. And the spiritual infancy sphere here, it's not closed. It's not a complete circle because that's intentional. We want to encourage our spiritual infants to not stay there too long. But like it says in Hebrews 5, to go on from the milk diet and to progress from that. And yet Hebrews 5 and the full counsel of God's word communicate very clearly to us that we don't go from being spiritual infants to becoming spiritually mature overnight. It's not that simple. It's a long process. And that's why the second sphere is closed, the spiritual development phase. We're going to be there for a while. Okay, just like my boys, they're 1 and 4. It's going to take some time for them to develop into mature manhood, Lord willing. It takes us some time. We're born again. We start out as infants. As we follow Jesus, it's going to take some time. And that's okay. It's going to take some time to grow up into maturity. But one day we will, Lord willing. And this is where, as we think about these phases, I think the 4W life is so helpful. Because we define a disciple of Christ as someone who worships Christ, walks with Christ, works for Christ, and witnesses for Christ. And so in the infancy phase, you're just learning, what are these W's? And you're just kind of getting oriented. What are the basic principles of the oracles of God? What are those? And then as you get into spiritual development, those practices, you're starting to make them into more, they're more habits in your life. And God uses the hardships you go through, the suffering you go through to refine you. And one day, if you just stay on that path, on the way of Jesus, he will lead you into spiritual maturity. And there, in spiritual maturity, the 4 W's have become a lifestyle. You're living out the 4 W life. Not a single one of these W's is missing. You're not perfect, Adam. You still have way more time to grow. Okay, that's why this golden arrow at the top points upward. Just imagine this final sphere just keeps growing upward and outward with time. Because we're never done growing. But Hebrews 5 makes it clear there are some Christians who are mature. And we want to present everyone before the Lord one day, mature in Christ. And so let's head into this together. Okay, go ahead and flip it over here. You're going to see in these different phases, depending on where you may be, there could be some next steps that as a church we're offering you that could be your next step. We want you to discern. Okay, we had to resist the temptation to not create some sort of playbook. Okay, there's no cookie cutter way we can go about discipleship. We're just busting out disciples like widgets or something, okay? As Hebrews 5 makes clear, you must discern with the Spirit of God, with the Lord's help, what is my next step? And on the Discipleship Pathway webpage, you're going to see that we have a guide that helps you discern which phase am I in. And by the way, you might kind of fall between two phases. That's great. And then there's another guide that will help you discern what is my next step. If you're like, I just don't know what my next step is. Well, we have some support for you there too. And then here are some things that you can look at that we're offering as a church, and we can add to these lists over time. You'll notice for spiritual maturity, it's just fill in the blank. Okay, that's not because we're trying to gyp the spiritually mature in our church. It's because you've now learned the discernment you need, and you've learned to eat solid food. You now have this whole plethora of options that you can choose as your next step with the Lord's help. And we don't want to try to restrict that. We don't want to restrict anything here. But I want to encourage those of you who are spiritually mature, keep going. Keep discerning your next step. Keep taking it. And take others along with you. Who are in the second phase, the first phase, that you can go bring with you and help them become mature in Christ? We need you guys. I said this was going to be a different sermon, okay? I'm going to actually give you some homework, which I don't know if anyone gets excited. Yeah, can we get pumped for homework? Woo! All right, that's fine. But there's a video that I want to ask you to watch this week. It's going to help you going into the sermon for next Sunday. And it's a brief video, but it's going to unpack all of this with a little more clarity than I've been able to now. And it'll help you begin using the pathway, hopefully right away. Okay. So I want to encourage you guys, if there's anything that you need prayer for, as you're processing all of this, if discouragement has started to knock or shame has started to knock, please come forward. We're going to have a team of people up here who want to pray with you. If you're excited about a next step that the Spirit's been pressing on your heart, we want to hear about that. We want to pray with you for that. Don't neglect to come up here. But before we get to that, I'm pumped, you all. We have some people in our church who have discerned that their next steps in following Jesus are to get baptized this morning. Praise God for that. Yeah. We had four people first service, and now we're about to have three people this service. And every single one of these individuals has asked someone who's been key in their discipleship to baptize them. And that's just evidence that we're getting after the mission together. God is at work in this place, and he's going to help us as we live on missions as disciples of Jesus Christ. And so I want to, with that, go ahead and invite up our first person who's getting baptized.